And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday, September 2nd. Turn the corner into September, and it's going to start feeling like it as we head into tomorrow. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel, who's in-house. And
except for this studio. This studio is currently having a hot flash like a woman in menopause. I'm like, what is going on in here?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's a beautiful day outside.
Isn't it?
But...
yeah, well, so, they're working on the air conditioner up on the roof.
They are.
Now, if we had windows that could open,
that'd be different. It'd be
a nice
lovely
breeze
day
in here.
What's the scoop on the clouds?
Well, we've got clouds building in the area. In fact, on radar right now, there are some thunderstorms developing just south of Elbow Lake, stretching over towards Alex. Those are moving southward towards the Morris area. And eventually down towards Wilmer. We are expecting a few scattered showers to develop to the northwest of the FM area as a cold front approaches. In fact, we're looking at cooler weather that's going to be heading our way as we head into tomorrow. It's going to start feeling like fall. But we're currently at 74. We'll top out a few more degrees on top of that, about 77 today. And again, we'll see a few scattered showers developing as we head towards evening as a cold front sweeps by. And that will turn our winds to the north tonight. We'll drop down into the upper 40s and then a blustery, chilly day on Wednesday. Northwest winds 15 to 30 and highs in the upper 50s. And then a better chance for rain as we head into Thursday. Looks like we could pick up about a quarter inch of rain on Thursday, and we'll have highs in the low 60s, and then we'll turn windy and cooler again on Friday, 58 with strong northwest winds. The weekend mellows out. We'll have temperatures in the 60s on Saturday, 70s on Sunday, and then next week, most of next week looks pretty good. We start to get into the stormy part of the LRC cycle around the 11th. The 11th through the middle of the month, we start to get into that stormy part of the LRC cycle. But the majority of next week for Big Iron looks pretty good.
Which is really nice. As I mentioned to you earlier today, it is super to be at Big Iron in nice weather. I've been there during 90-plus degrees in steel buildings.
Yeah.
Less fun than it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been to Big Iron where I've not only worn a coat, but gloves.
So anything
can happen. I've carried an umbrella. I've worn work boots to tennis shoes. It's been crazy.
And I've had a few emails that have asked if I see any potential for our first frost. I do not. I know once people start hearing we're going to drop in the upper 30s this week.
But we're not going to last long.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I'm not seeing any frost. In fact, I checked the LRC and not seeing any frost through the end of the month. That's good news. The earliest I see frost, I'll have to check what our first frost was last year. I'll have to go back and check on that. But I'm not seeing anything until probably the second week in October.
Okay.
Until we see our first frost.
Okay.
So we'll continue with the relatively decent weather through the month of September. I'm not seeing any big cold snaps. Again, we're getting these signs of fall this week with the blustery conditions and northwest winds, but still not seeing any frost, so that's good. We'll continue with the growing season.
And we should be into soybean harvest at that point, too.
Mm-hmm.
There were certainly a lot of dry edible beans I saw this weekend that were drying down nicely. They were probably desiccated to speed that process along. But I think I'll be paying attention to the fields over the next couple of days as I travel, and we will notice quite a bit of change in fields.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's time. The plants know. Good Lord, my tomato plants just in 5 days' time went from, gosh, we look great, to, look at us die.
Time for us to
it's
get out of here.
You. Yes. Which I'm about done with the tomato situation, because how much spaghetti sauce can one person make?
Oh, you'd be surprised. And you can it.
I have.
Yes.
So we're up to 22 quarts right
Whoa.
Now on the shelf. Yeah.
Do you freeze it?
No, it's all canned.
Okay.
Hot water bath.
Okay.
Done. Mm-hmm.
And how long does that last when you can them?
Well, first of all, if it's like your grandma's indefinitely, right? You could go into any grandma's cellar around the Midwest,
yep.
And you can find stuff from 2002.
Oh, I remember those days.
I mean, like, I bet the canned beets are still fine. I wouldn't recommend it.
Right.
But also, that's something that my family enjoys. So... you know, the kids will shop me like Costco, and I'll be giving away a bunch of them.
Awesome.
It'll work out
good
well.
Deal. And we've got a special day today because we're going to announce our winner.
We are. So I got to say, first of all, I know that there were some folks who sent me their guesses on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And now I cannot find them.
Oh, no.
This is on me. So if you had a guess that was below or like closest to our winner number, mm-hmm. I'm going to have you contact me. Because then
it's be honest, though.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll, you know, like, help me find it. But, yeah, that one's on me if somebody from Facebook won, because then I lost track of those. Okay. There's a lot of things that happen over here, and sometimes I lose a thing or two. Not a lot, but
hey,
occasionally.
It's okay. Mistakes happen. No big deal.
So, to our winner, though, let me go look up the name. I have that on a list. But we've had hail damage on our field. We took that, so we knew that was going to be a factor on our yield. It wasn't going to be quite as good as we had hoped.
You know, and it was when I was out combining with Mike, uh-huh. it was really, because, I mean, that's the first time I've ridden in a combine. It was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I said, how do you know where the hail damage is? And so he was showing me,
yeah.
And, you know, just Joe Blow like me, it's, you know, but after he pointed it out, it's like, oh, wow, obvious. You really can tell.
And in that field, you could see where it didn't have hail damage next to some tree rows,
mm-hmm.
that protected that wheat versus the open part of the field. So the average of bushels across our field, I don't think we have a drum roll for this, but...
Addison, can you just do a drum roll for us?
Not really. I think Addison's got his hands full over there.
Sorry, buddy. Wrong timing.
When you guys asked me.
So our winner... got close without going over. Our actual yield for our field was 51 bushels, and we had a 14.4 protein on that field. So there we go, 51 bushels. The person who got closest without going over is Mike Harden, and he is of Harden Hamps. I'm not sure if those are Hampshire hogs or Hampshire sheep, but I can't wait until Mike lets me know. So I've got his email address here. I'm going to email back to Mike and let him know that he wins a rain gauge and a $100 gift card, and that he will need to stop and pick those up.
Congrats.
So
awesome.
Again, if I messed up and you were somewhere in that 49 to 51 range on Facebook and I couldn't find it, I need you to come back to me. And you can email me, ag@flagfamily.com. You can remind me that sometimes I, as organized as I am, yes. Not every
stuff
day.
Happens.
Stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, stuff happens. So, yeah, so Mike Harden. He got closest.
Good deal.
Mike. I had Jim Eulen, Jim and Mike Eulen are our farmer cooperators. They told me after I took the signs off the field that I have a career future as a hail adjuster if I want, because when I said 35% hail damage, I was pretty spot
right
on versus the non-hailed on portion of the field.
You're busy enough. I don't think you need any more gigs.
No, you're right. I'm fine. So that worked out really well. We're happy for Mike to have played along with us.
Yeah, big thanks to the Eulens for letting us participate in the wheat growing this year, for sure.
Now, there's for those of you who are watching on Facebook and YouTube and Acres TV under Weather and Ag in Focus, you're going to notice some new graphics from us. So take a little look at those on our live stream. Love to have you comment on them. And those graphics are because we have a studio sponsor that is Coral Laundromat Studio. Now, why would a laundromat want to sponsor Ag? Well, we're dirty. So,
yes, we are.
You didn't see that coming.
Not at all.
Good God. Okay, so for us, if you think about, there are times where there are things that you might not want to run through your home washing machine, and you need a commercial washer, that's where Coral Laundromat would certainly come into play for you. I see this as a great fit for us, and we're going to talk about so many of the things that they bring to the table for you in the ag community and everywhere else. But additionally, don't forget to give us phone calls at 701-293-9000. You can join us on the JLA Insurance phone line at any point in time during the show today. And then also, I wanted to let you know that our Weather and Ag in Focus Assistant Ag Director, we have a sponsor for that, and that is Cass County Farm Bureau. I want to say thanks to those folks. They sponsor the Ag Education Building out at the fairgrounds. They are the presenting sponsor for Big Iron next week. And one of the pillars for Cass County Farm Bureau is education. What a better way to work with education than be sponsoring our intern that comes in for a day as an assistant ag director. So very much looking forward to working with them throughout this season.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Well, more to come, especially because we have a guest. We are going to be joined today by Matthew Larson. He is with Farm in the Dell.
Farmer in the Dell.
Well, just Farm in the Dell.
Oh, okay.
And they've got a lot going on over in Moorhead. We talked to Anna Sather one day, and we just flat ran out of time for all the things over there, so we're going to do it again.
Awesome.
And we'll do that after the livestock market update from the American Ag Network. Live from the Coral Laundromat Studio, this is Weather and Ag in Focus. Well, want to make sure to thank Here We Grow sponsors who stuck with us all summer long as we raise, on average, 51 bushels of hard red spring wheat. Again, that protein was 14.4. ND Estate Services, that's where Mark Wagner hangs out, and he is excellent in helping educate you and your family on probate, protecting from guardianship, saving taxes, and really just having some peace of mind. And you can reach him, ndestateservices.com. And to Thor Buildings. Those folks have had a busy summer, but yet they can still fit in construction projects if you are looking for that next post-frame building in your life, and they'd be happy to help you out. So go check them out over at Thor Buildings. If you have questions about what they do or any of the work, I think we have lots of folks that can give great testimony for them. We are joined by our guest today. That is Matthew Larson. He is with us from Farm in the Dell, even though we just about started singing Farmer in the Dell, but there's a distinct difference, isn't there, Matthew?
There is, for sure, yes. A lot of people start singing the song and say Farmer in the Dell, but we are just Farm in the Dell. We're not named after the song.
So we've talked with folks at Farm in the Dell before, yourself and Anna Sather, but I think for those who are unfamiliar, so not everyone has heard the story, would you share it with us, please?
Yeah, I would love to. So Farm in the Dell, we're a nonprofit. We are located about 5 miles north of Moorhead on County Road 9. Our mission is transforming disabilities into abilities, and we do that in a garden farm setting. So primarily through, we hire adults with all sorts of different abilities that come out and work on the farm. It's a very peaceful setting. We are doing most of our garden work hands-on, down on our hands and knees, in the dirt, putting the seeds in the rows, putting the plants in, and then harvesting all of our stuff as we progress through the season here. So it's a great place where individuals are learning job skills, they're in community, purpose, they see the growth of everything in the garden, they see it going out to those that are purchasing our produce, and I love being here, our employees love being here, it's a great place. We started about 2015 is when we were out on this property here, which is about 25 acres right now. And we garden about 11 acres. So there's a lot of produce coming out of the field. And we've been working through our mission and doing our mission for the last 10 years out at the property here north of Moorhead. So, yeah, it's been great.
It is so quiet and peaceful. We can hear the crickets out there.
Yes. I snuck away into my office here, and I'm surrounded by crickets.
Yeah.
But we've got so much stuff on the wall.
You are not alone. Mm-hmm.
Michael, what do you guys do? So you're raising produce. What do you do in the off season? Because the off season is coming up here pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's one of our goals here at the farm, is to have some sort of year-round employment for our employees. Right now, we will go into the middle part of October, and then we'll have to say goodbye to a lot of our employees, and then we'll start back again in April. So we have about 30 garden engineers that work out at the farm, and approximately half of them have other employment during the winter that they take on when they're not out at the farm. But the other half, we would love to have something through the winter months, but we don't have that right now. So there's a lot of planning and conversations and things like that happen with our very small team that we have out on the farm during the winter months. But our employees, we have to say goodbye to them in October, and it's usually a pretty sad day.
Right, I bet.
I just heard the term garden engineer. I'm going to need that t-shirt, bumper sticker, whatever you want to call it. I think that sounds about right for me.
Yeah, when I heard that term garden engineer, I thought it's perfect. The people that are out here are so lovely.
And
we love all of them.
And I would venture a guess that this is, when the public comes out as well, it's just nothing shy of a festive atmosphere, visiting and sharing and looking at the work that's been done. And right now,
absolutely.
What stage is the garden in? I know what mine looks like. What does an 11-acre garden at your place look like?
Yeah, so there's so much going on. We love to have people out at the farm. A couple events we have coming up September 20th and 27th are two Saturdays. It's kind of our fall festival. And so families and kids, it's very kid-oriented. We have all sorts of games and face painting and pumpkins and a barrel train and a hay maze and things like that. And our goal is we love to have people out at the farm and see the garden. Our garden is massively producing this year. In fact, a couple Mondays ago, we took about 900 pounds of cucumbers out of our garden in one day.
Me both.
Yeah. The cucumbers have done really, really well. So most of our produce we sell through a CSA. Individuals get a subscription for our produce that gets delivered to a couple locations throughout town or out at the farm for 12 weeks. So we're right in the middle of that right now. And then also on Thursdays, people can come out to the farm and we have a market set up right in our barn out here from 4 to 6 every evening. In the mornings on Thursdays, we do U-picks where families come out and can wander through the garden and pick flowers or cucumbers, whatever it is that they want to find out in the garden. A lot of families come out and do that, and it really is a great setting, and kids get to see where their produce is coming from, and yes. You get fresh homegrown produce. So it's very nice.
Seeing where things come from matters so much to give you just that connection of how it grows, because I think there can be that surprise of the fact that a cucumber grows on a vine versus a tomato grows on a plant. And I think that there's just going to be more of those types of connections that folks can make. And Matt, I have a whole list of questions for you that we want to make sure to ask. Oh, yeah. We want to know about the fundraisers that are coming up. I know you talked about the fall festival a little bit, but there's going to be more things, especially as you start planning for 2026. We will do that after the bottom of the hour news. We'll return with Matthew Larson. He is with Farm in the Dell, and we'll be back after this. And welcome back into the Coral Laundry Studios. I'm just getting used to that guy's voice saying it for us. I don't know who that guy is. But he's doing a nice job.
He's got a good voice.
He probably lives in one of the rooms around here that I don't know what the door leads to. Okay, so but the guy I do know that's here with us is Matthew Larson, and he is with Farm in the Dell. My question to start out here, Matt, is you ran a great operation for 2025. What are you going to do different for 2026?
Wow. So that's a great question. 2025 is my first season going through the garden. It's also my farm manager's first season going through the garden. So this season for us was a lot of learning and figuring things out and seeing how things are going to be. So we've put things down just like a few things in the garden. Like I think we're going to widen our rows out to make it a little more accessible for some of our engineers who maybe have mobility issues. You know, we kind of planted it how you'd plant a normal garden. But for individuals that have difficulty moving through the garden, we're going to widen things out a little bit and, just some changes like that. But, really this first year was us learning and figuring this out and seeing what a season was going to look like. So we've learned a lot. We're excited to dig into 2026 and have another great year coming up.
When do you anticipate opening next year? I mean, if you're like me, when it comes to planting my garden, my crystal ball is a little fuzzy at this point, but do you have some targets of what you want to see?
Usually in February, March, we're really starting to talk to some of our greenhouse areas. We don't have our own greenhouse operating here yet, so we'll start making some plans and some seeds will start getting planted. It's usually that first week of May is when we start full-time with our 30 garden engineers are going to start coming out on a regular basis. So really that first week of May, we want stuff in the ground. Some of our seedlings should be planted and we'll start planting some of our seeds and things like that. It's always dependent on what the winter was like and how much moisture we have and things like that. But usually we want to be up and running full speed by that first week of May.
As a nonprofit, when you mentioned seedlings, not having your own greenhouse, so is that all donated goods from someone here in town that you want to recognize that's helping out with it? And then the back end of that question is, as a nonprofit, where's all your money going these days? Are we putting it back in to reinvest so we can have more than 11 acres of land and more garden engineers?
Yeah, that's another great question. So we have NDSU has been really great with us with greenhouse stuff. So they, as part of some of their classes, they're planting a lot of our produce and making sure it's coming up. And then we do receive all of that. Also, Adam over at Cheyenne Gardens in West Fargo has been really, really good to us as well with our seedlings and advice. We can call him anytime and ask him any sort of question and he'll answer that question. What was the second part of your question again?
As a nonprofit, what are you doing on the back end of that? Are you reinvesting? Are you giving away? How does that work for you?
Yeah, so we, like, our purpose and our mission is our people. And so ideally, as many individuals that we can hire and give employment and purpose and community to, that's our goal. And so really, starting in May all the way through the end of September, our payroll is pretty large because that's who we are and that's our purpose. And so a lot of that, the income that we're receiving from our produce is going right into paying our garden engineers because they don't just come out for a program. We pay them a full wage and they're earning money and a paycheck. And for many of them, it's the only place they get it. So that's where a lot of our income is going. And we're always seeking donations and donors to partner with us, whether it's a sponsorship of an event or even sponsoring 1 hour of work for a garden engineer, which would be $11.13 to do an hour of work. So there's lots of different ways in which we want to invest that money. But our number one, as our mission, it's our people and giving them that paycheck and some meaning and purpose and hard work. So
you have this fabulous fall festival that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And so where can folks be following that? What types of things can they be planning for to take in yet this year in 2025?
Yeah, really our fall festival is for every age. This year we're going to have some live music, a barrel train, a hay maze, some slides, all sorts of games. And so the whole family is welcome to come out. You can find all your pumpkins and there'll be a bake sale and concessions. So that's from 10 to 3, the last two Saturdays of September. And so it's a great event. We charge $5 for a wristband. So if you want to ride the barrel train and do the maze and things like that,
yes, I do.
It just be $5 and you can spend the entire 5 hours riding the barrel train if you wanted to. So it's a
game on. It's
a great event. It's very cost effective. It's a lot of fun for a family to come out.
It's great for the kids.
Plus some of the other things. Oh yeah.
Well,
for sure.
And I really appreciate Matthew repeating those things from before the break. So for folks that are thinking about this, but we're like, wait, what did he say? But there's also something else that you guys do, and that's more of a farm to table experience. And you've had a couple of those already this summer, correct, Matthew?
Yeah. So we call it table to farm.
Okay.
Because we're actually bringing the tables to the farm and we set up these tables right in the middle of our garden, right next to our flower patch, white tablecloths. We have live music, glasses of wine and a speaker and an amazing meal from Heart and Soul Community Cafe. They come out and harvest a bunch of our produce out of the garden the day before, and then they do an amazing meal. It's a three-course dinner that we have out there. We get to meet some of the garden engineers. Our last Table to Farm event is going to be this next Thursday, and that goes from 5:30 to 8, right out at the farm in the garden. It's been beautiful. The July and August event that we have was absolutely perfect. And so we're hoping for another great one a week from this coming Thursday. So it's September 11th. There are still some tickets available. You can find those on our website, which is Farm in the Dell RRV for Red River Valley. And then it's .org. So you can find that on our website. And we also have social media, Facebook and Instagram and things like that. So you can certainly follow us on social media platforms as well.
Absolutely. So my last big question would be, what's the garden item that got out of hand? I mean, I heard 900 pounds of cucumbers. Most of us have been hiding zucchini in the church offering plate and anywhere else we could. What has happened at Farm in the Dell?
Yeah, though the cucumbers for sure. we could probably pick 900 pounds of cucumbers almost every week at this point.
Wow.
So a lot Hello, of cucumbers. Pickles. Yeah, our peppers have done really well. We have crates and several crates of jalapenos. Swiss chard. I feel like the Swiss chard, you could sell it to the Egyptian monarch so they could be fanned by the giant Swiss chard.
Swiss chard, fake rhubarb.
It's been a lot of fun. yeah, right. Our pumpkins are, there's a lot of plant out there right now, and just kind of walking through our pumpkin patch, there's a lot of pumpkins, looks like. So it's been a lot of fun to be in a garden like this size. I mean, I grew up on a farm and we always had a garden and canned vegetables and things like that, but never to the size of an 11-acre farm. So it's been a lot of fun. And the people are amazing to work with. So many fun personalities and different types of people that are out here. So it's just been a great experience. And I'd encourage any one of you to come on out at any time and just see what we do. Our mornings, the morning shift is when our engineers are out here working and in the garden. And you can go on our website and sign up for volunteer shifts to come out. There's always plenty to do at the farm. If you blink, the weeds start to take over a section. And so we're always pulling weeds. We're always harvesting. Some things are harder to harvest for us than other things. You know, you may end up in the cherry tomato patch picking cherry tomatoes or something like that. So we would love to have people out at the farm and just see who we are. So any Thursday is also a good day if you don't want to work and volunteer, come on out and buy some produce. And see who we are.
So. And Matthew, we've got a caller. Tom's on line one. He's got a question for you. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, just real quick, have you thought about branching out into poultry of some sort, like meat chickens during the summer, or would that be too complicated?
No, we, like our farm manager and myself, this is our first season through, so we're trying to do everything that we've done before. But we have definitely talked about chickens. I tend to be a little bit more on board than my farm manager right now, so I'm trying to convince him that chickens would be a great idea. So, yeah, I love that idea. I think that gives us a little more opportunity to be a little more full-time and have some more people out here as well. So,
okay. We do have space. Thank you very much. Look forward to that.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
I had one as well. If folks are like retiring, mom and dad are moving into a smaller place, et cetera, will you take donations of in good shape tools, shovels, rakes, hose, any of that type of thing, Matthew?
Yeah, things that are still useful are in good shape. We could always use garden supplies and tools and things like that. Yeah, for sure. Like that'd be a definite phone call and we can talk about that and look at what you guys have.
All right.
We still love being part of the community.
Awesome. Good deal. And Matthew, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, they want to donate, what's the best way to do that?
You can email me or give me a call. So my email would be mlarson@fidrrv.com. So the letters are farmindel Red River Valley. So FIDRRV.com. Or you can give me a call at 218-593-3355. I'd love to chat with any of you guys. All right. If you have any more questions about Farm in the Dell.
Well, Matthew, if I win the Powerball on Wednesday, rest assured, you guys will be taken care of.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that. You said it live on air, too.
I so did. You're going to hold me to it.
Now it's a written contract.
Not a problem.
All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Well, Michael, thank you for joining us again. And when we come back, we're going to have a recap of the weather. Bridget's got a couple of ag topics as well, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:53 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside in the mid-70s, and we're going to make it up a few more degrees, 77. A lot of clouds out there right now. There's a few showers, thunder showers, I should say, south of Alex, and also and a couple of thunder showers trying to develop south of Hankinson, between Hankinson and Sisseton, if you're heading south on 29 there. And we're going to look at a cold front coming through that could trigger off an isolated shower here through the evening. And then winds turn to the north overnight tonight as we drop down to 47 and a blustery day tomorrow. Windy conditions out of the northwest at about 15 to 30 and highs in the upper 50s. I'm looking forward to the weekend. We will see rain on Thursday. So if you're wanting rain, we could pick up to about a quarter inch on Thursday. And then that's going to be more of a widespread rain throughout the area. Nothing heavy, but about a quarter inch. And then the weekend looks great. Plenty of sunshine with temperatures in the 60s and 70s. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists.
Well, as we talk about fall coming along before too terribly far away, and harvest will be part of that. Recent discussions from Michigan Sugar Company have talked about the domestic sugar producing regions and how they are changing here in the U.S. Right now, 25% of our sugar is imported. But for American farmers who produce sugar, if we balance our trade with that and give just another 10% to U.S. sugar instead of the import market, that'd be another 1.2 million tons of sugar, which is twice what Michigan sugar produces annually. We produce sugar from sugar beets in three primary regions in the U.S., Michigan, here in the Red River Valley, and then out in the Panhandle of Nebraska. We raise seed production further west, like Washington State, Idaho, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And right now, since 2000, going to have you take a little guess for me here, since 2000, 28 U.S. sugar processing facilities have closed. How many remain here in the U.S.?
How many closed?
28 closed. How many still remain active for sugar processing?
Wow.
Then this is this is domestic sugar.
No clue.
Okay.
I wouldn't even know where to start guessing.
Addison, my No Carb Left Behind friend, do you want to jump in on this? How many sugar processing facilities do you think still exist?
More than one.
Well, there's a safe answer.
You know, in my high school graduation yearbook, I was voted top of the class to give the most safe answer.
So. I will tell you, this is why we ask him. Okay, so only 43 production sites, wow, or processing sites still remain in the U.S.
You know what? My actual guess was going to be 50, so I should have actually guessed that. I would have been
pretty
close.
See? Spot on. Mm. So really, that's one of the major discussions that's been happening recently with the American Sugar Alliance's annual meeting. Additionally, the other things that we see happening, excuse me, right now, the cattle market is certainly up. For those who are raising cattle, they are finally enjoying their day in the sun, right? It's been good. Some time coming. But what that does is drive up consumer prices on beef. Interesting little fact. Beef is projected to generate $113 billion in revenue this year versus $57 billion for the entire U.S. corn crop.
Wow.
Beef is going to be double what corn is this year. I don't think that many people saw that coming, say, just 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, prices in the store, you could tell.
You can tell.
They've gone up quite a bit.
But demand hasn't fallen off.
No.
And a big chunk of that is certainly being driven by carnivore diet at this point, where people choose their favorite protein. Beef has been one, which also is impacted positively pork and chicken. When folks are making that switch, the first thing I hear is, well, it's going to cost me a lot more to go to a carnivore diet because of the price of beef, et cetera. But if you are eliminating all the other stuff that you're not consuming, you're giving up potatoes and fruits, et cetera, that money just transfers over to your protein. So many are balancing it out, and it's working out fine for them.
Good.
Granted, if you raise your own beef, that makes a difference too. Not everybody's going to have a cow in the backyard, but you know, we got away with chickens in the back, so.
Why not? Hey, you could try.
Why not? Let's just see about that.
Nothing beats a good steak. I feel sorry for anybody that's vegetarian. I really, they're missing out on so much good
food. You know,
food.
Beyond Meat came out of the gun really fast and was making a big impact in the market. Currently, their stock price, I think, has fallen somewhere in the neighborhood of 80%. Because folks, it just did not have the attraction. They were not marketing to the people that really wanted that particular item on their menu. Because I always say, you can't complain if you don't vote. I did the same thing. I went to Burger King. I got the Beyond Burger. It's the first time I've been at Burger King for, I don't know, 10 years. But I did it. And then I ate a regular burger. Okay, if you eat crappy beef on a regular basis, you wouldn't know the difference when it's dressed up with lettuce, tomato, ketchup, and mustard.
Good point.
So
right.
That's what the Beyond Burger was.
Well, I'll tell you what, we want to thank everybody for joining us here today on Weather and Ag and Focus. Go out and enjoy the rest of the afternoon, but don't go anywhere. Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.